Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Well, did you ever have one of those days when there's just too much to do? This is one of those days. I couldn't decide. I mean, I'm looking at all my topics. I'm looking at my things. Should I do a show on vaccines? Should I do a show on cars and the lack thereof and the fact that they're all disappearing? And anyway, that's the plan. And is Biden's and the left's, you know, infrastructure, when they talk about 21st century infrastructure, are they talking about, you know, getting rid of all the cars? Yeah, they are actually. But I need more information, so I'm working on that. I'm still listening to this incredible video. I listened to it my second time now this morning from Dr. Peter McCullough on with Tucker Carlson about, and he won't say that there's a worldwide, marketing plan that the pandemic really is designed to kill people and scare the rest into getting a vaccine that will probably, that might kill them also. He's not willing to go that far. I am, because I don't care. I want you to know the truth, all right? But I've got stories of Eric Clapton. Took two vaccines. The first one, results were horrible. The second one, the results were even worse. And yet he took a second one, and because he was told they were safe and effective. You know, those are the two most, you know, misused words in the English language today, are safe and effective. Okay, and so all these things are going on. So in the second hour, we're just going to have a general discussion and open up the lines, as they say. Of course, they're always open. I don't really ever close them, right? But the point is, if you want to call, we haven't had an open and wild free-for-all discussion for a while, so this is probably a good day to do that. Israel, too. Is Israel going to invade Gaza? I think they should. I think they should take it back and, kick out Hamas and everybody else. And it was a lot better place when Israel ran it. So this is a few things on my mind. Anyway, we got Gene on the line. And Gene's, we've moved from the Life Coach report, which was a little narrow, to the much more expansive, you know, Gene Vernig report. And so that's what I just have to get a new theme. So a lot of things I have all these themes I want to do. I need a staff. Anybody want to volunteer to help Action Radio? We've got a bunch of different areas where, and I already have people all over the place doing all kinds of things. You'd be amazed what's happening here. All right, so let's get to Gene, and I'll be right back. In these times of trial and tribulation, of epidemic and or economic crisis, of personal challenge and societal collapse, there is one place you can retreat, recharge, and re-energize to take on the world. That place is the Life Coach Report with Gene Vernig here on Action Radio.
But I want to get mad. I don't want to be like,
what better way to start your day?
Mad. I got things to talk about. It's a bad world out there. I think people are trying to kill us with vaccines. Ugh. We've got Dr. Fascist, a genocidal, psychopathic vaccine drug pusher. You know, that's getting more true every day. And more people are realizing it. It's fascinating that we were there, you know, a year ago, declaring that the cure for COVID is chloroquine, and we discovered that on March 2nd. I discovered it in late February last year, and broadcast it to March 2nd. And ever since then, I've been saying, people, this is all nonsense. There's no reason for lockdowns, masks, or anything. And yet here we are. Here we are. People are rushing to the vaccine so they can be saved from a disease that I just found out doesn't exist in the United States anymore. Gene, have you had a chance to look at or listen to that Peter McCullough video I've been posting on various places? It's really incredible.
Yeah, I've listened to parts of it, not the whole thing yet.
Yeah.
The thing is, what this people could say this time, so it's like, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Greg. This
morning,
time, they would say, oh, God, so much negative going on in the world. But, you know, I think this is the time. This is a time for all of us. Some of us more than others, to take action. And I know I talked about this a few weeks ago, and it's like not beating a dead horse. It reminds me of going to Catholic church and when I grew up, and they always ask for money. No, this isn't it. What I'm getting at is
they're still asking for money, by the way.
Really, we need to step up. Everybody needs to step up. And I don't want people to step up and because it's negative, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to change, whatever. No, you could step up and tell people, hey, good job, support them, you know, emotionally. Tell them when they're doing something good or you respect what they're doing, you respect them fighting for us or speaking their truth, even if it's different than yours. And it's also, if you need to get involved because you don't like what is going on and you know it's not right, it's only certain people's agenda, and it could be locally, nationally, whatever. But the thing is, now is the time. And you may think, I have no time. You don't have to spend hours doing something. Really, take a few moments today and really think about what can you do? What would you like to do? Where would you like to see a change? Or what do you really like that's going on? And go and get involved. As I said, people need, or not need, but we, you know, they love it when people talk to them and say, hey, good work, especially, I mean, can you imagine some of, well, the political people, I'm thinking of Marjorie in Georgia. I mean, look what she's doing. It's like, and every time she turns around, there's people that are trying to do something to get her kicked out. And I'm just like, wow, send an email to her, say, oh, keep it up. Or, I mean, if you don't agree with her, who do you agree with? Send them an email. Send them a phone call. Send them a note and just say, I appreciate what you're doing on behalf of, even if they're not in your area, on behalf of the people that support you or whatever. But also, look at what they're going through in Arizona and the voting fraud. And you're like, oh, my God, if that took a year. And send them a note and say, keep up the fight. We want to know the truth, whatever the truth is. And for most of us, we pretty much know because of all the cover-ups that are going on, or not cover-ups, but the lack of transparency, put it that way. And so what can you do? Now is the time to show up. If not now, when is it? And it's so easy to say, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll start tomorrow. No, start today. And for those of you that have a calendar or calendar on your phone, put in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 5 minutes. Every day, and for those few minutes, devote on doing something to make you feel like you are making a difference, that you are being supportive of someone else. And it can be someone you don't even know, or it may be someone you know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a huge thing. It can be just a small thing. And as I said, it can be some, you give someone emotional support. You know, someone physical support. You can even mow someone's lawn. He's like, well, what does that have to do with anything? You know what? What it has to do, and a lot of places don't have to worry about this now because it's houses are flying off the, they come on for sale and they're sold within days, hours sometimes. But it makes the neighborhood look better. Or, you know, some of these people, they may not feel well. They can't get out and mow their lawn. And by giving them a nicely mowed lawn, there's nothing better than when you walk outside or look outside and your lawn is cut and how it smells. It's just awesome. And so what can you do that can make a difference? If you can't do those things or don't want to do those things and you have money, financially support someone, you know, and I'm not saying millions of dollars, maybe $5, $10, $100, $1,000, whatever you feel compelled to do. Otherwise, pray. You know, just pray. Prayer is important. But if you don't know what to do otherwise, get involved with Action Radio, what Greg is doing. I mean, like you said at the beginning, Greg, it's like there's so many things going on, so many things you're doing. And the thing is, you're one person. And with everything going on, it's like, it does take a village. And you know what? To help people stay abreast of things, hey, other help is appreciated. And if you can help, once again, financially support them. So there's many different things you can do. And just got to take that initial step. And once you take the initial step, so then it's like piece of cake after that. It's just like, okay, got to do it. Boom, do it. And that's it.
Here's the dirty little secret. It's fun to be an activist. I mean, it really is. You know, especially when you meet other like-minded activists. You know, the one thing I never anticipated when I got into this was how many people would rally around. We've got 10 reporters. Okay, we have researchers that are around the country that are sending me stuff all the time that I don't even talk about because they want to stay in the background. There are things going on. You mentioned Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. Rumor has it she may be at this rally that we're doing. Just to remind folks, Action Radio has a booth at the Faith, Family, and Freedom I think, or also known as the Arise USA, you know, festival. It's going on in Milton this weekend. So, Saturday. So Saturday from 3 p.m. until 9 p.m., we're going to have a booth. You know, we're going to have people there. I'm going to have our website stuff people can get. They can read some of our bills. They can, and we're doing it all by phone. So, in other words, take pictures. I don't have any cards or brochures. So you can copy the links. You can take photos of the links to the bills and go directly to them. So we're stepping up the 21st century here in terms of information. But this is happening. And so to be an activist, you know, you don't have to sit around and write bills. That's like the highest level. You know, and there's very few people doing that. And quite frankly, I couldn't, you know, work with more than a few people who are actually doing that. You know, but in terms of sharing, anybody can share our show. Anybody can share anything that they find valuable, you know, that we're sending out there. So the easiest thing that people can do is share. Okay. The next thing you can do is actually post. Post things that you've written. Don't just send articles and copy things and, you know, and say this is bad and those little meme things. I mean, write something. You know, write a short paragraph. Write something that is meaningful to you. Those tend to have a lot more weight. They don't have the graphics. They don't have the fancy stuff. But you'd be surprised how much, you know, something written has an effect. And I was just reminded that as you were talking, I was looking up a couple things. One, I've got this Christmas Day speech from George Washington, 1776, where he says, "What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods. And it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated." So which begs the question, do people actually rate their freedom highly? In other words, do you get a vaccine because the government tells you to, even if you may have heard that there's something wrong with it? I'm here to tell you there's something wrong with it, because I just heard from that video in another One American News story that the highest number of adverse effects, injuries, and deaths are occurring with the COVID vaccines, higher than all other vaccines for like the last 40 years combined. Okay. That doesn't tell you something. I got a story here from Texas that in the Texas hearing, they talked about how the reason there are no animal trials available, no evidence of animal trials for the COVID vaccine, is because all the animals died. All right. So you are now the animals, you know, you folks that are taking the vaccine. And I'm thinking of people we've lost already, Hank Aaron, Larry King, Marvin Hagler. You may not know Hagler. He's a boxer. He was one of the best in the world. You know, people that took the COVID vaccine and died within a couple of weeks. Okay, my big concern right now is Eric Clapton. You know, I'm a musician. I can't help it. He's had two horrible events from the AstraZeneca vaccine, and I'm hoping that nothing happens to him because of it. You know, but they're taking away our heroes. They're taking away our senior folks. You know, with this vaccine, all because Dr. Fascist, the genocidal psychopathic vaccine drug pusher, and I'll say that until it gets through to people. You know, is making himself rich with the vaccines that he's patented, and is, you know, his owner is basically a big pharma. That's what's going on. So unless you stand up now, you know, be counted, it's going to be too late soon. So do something. And you don't have to do a lot, but the more you do, the more, like I said, you'll find that it's really fun to be an activist. I mean, it just is. You know, start calling members of Congress and start emailing and, you know, get with your friends. And then you find out your friends who believe like you do, but they didn't want to say anything. This is something I wanted to ask you about, Gene. You know, people think they're a lone activist, but you wouldn't believe how many millions of people are against the vaccines. You wouldn't believe how many millions of people know that Biden is a fraud. We know that he shouldn't be there. You know, there are millions of people, but the problem is they're not organized and the government is. So what we need to do is all you have to do is find someone else who thinks like you do and then form a partnership, work together, say, hey, you post here, I'll post there. Let's go. You know, cooperate. Gene, I'm sure you're big on this, you know, that if people find a like-minded person, it's much easier to be an activist and much easier to take a stand. What do you think?
Well, that's true. Very true. But also sometimes people, we don't do things because we're of fear. We don't think it will be good enough. We don't think that we know what we're doing. We don't think that people are going to like us, whatever, whatever. But when mm-hmm. you do it, it's like you realize that, hey, I can do this. But also there one thing, and this is what I struggled for a lot of my life, is my voice. I could use my voice to fight for other people, but not for myself. And it's interesting, as I got older and I learned to use my voice, when I use my voice, a lot of people look at it like, you know, what a bitch you are or whatever. And it's like, no, I'm just stating what my,
you're not a bitch,
my voice, what is important to me. I don't care what's important to anybody else, as far as you don't have to have my same beliefs. And that's one thing that I like about your show is you can get people call in and disagree. That's fine. You know, it's like you can have your own beliefs, whatever. But personally, you just, and I know you do, you just want people to see the truth. And know the facts. And a lot of people out there, they do not, I don't want to say they don't look for the truth, but they look at what's in front of their nose, in front of their face, and they don't dig any deeper. And it's so interesting, even what's going on in Arizona and all the mainstream media and everybody else are just saying that it's like, oh, it's just the Green Man supporters, and they're just not Green Orange Man supporters, and they're just upset because he lost the election. No, it's not that at all. You just don't get it. It's voter integrity. It's like every person's vote should count. Every person's legal vote should count. And it's like that's all you could want anywhere. And the thing is, what a hypocrisy, I can't even say it, sorry, this country is when we point fingers at other countries and how their elections are fraud-based, and then no one here wants to find out if it was or not. Because you know what? If they do the everything in all these states and find out, oh, Trump did lose, okay, he lost. Fair and square, oh, okay. We all know that's not true. You know, there's no way that can be true. I was listening to something this weekend, and they were talking about Biden and Harris going to Arizona, and they couldn't get nobody to even go there and listen to them. The parking lot was empty, yet the Trumps didn't even have anything there, and they had like a 90-car trainer. I don't know how long there was this, you know, caravan after, you know, car after car after car, Trump supporter. And it was just like grassroots organized boom. And it's like, so then you tell us that, oh, yeah, the Trump didn't win Maricopa County? Well, what happened to all the database where all those thousands, hundreds of thousands of names, whatever, information was just deleted? What happened to the code so you could get into the software? It's like, that is not an up-and-up election. You know, and so it's like, we need to want to know the truth, and then we need to be able to accept the truth. And sometimes accepting the truth can be very hard and difficult, but yet if the truth is the truth as you see it, then it shouldn't be difficult to take it out. Only sometimes I think, oh, this is so wrong, and I dig deeper. And if I no, I was the one that was wrong. I don't have a problem admitting when I'm wrong. But the thing is, we should allow other people to do their due diligence and help them see things. And, you know, the good thing is with you, you have the proof. You have information. You have stuff that backs up what you say. And that's what's important. It's like, yeah, Fauci, you know, he changes his mind all the time. And just, I cannot respect someone in that position when they are benefiting because of where he's got his other hands in. And also, the CDC, how reputable are they? They're not. That whole organization, I used to have so much respect for the CDC on a whole and what they did, and I thought they were on the up and up. They aren't. They should just be abolished, and everything should just be shut down, clean house, and then start anew. That's what I think. But, you know, that's another whole topic on itself. But I think for people, yeah, it's like we give them, or you give yourself a chance to step out there. Let your light shine, and you'll be amazed at what you can do. And it gets easier all the time. So when you put your foot out there the first time, you may be kind of scared, but you know what? Just say, oh, I feel you, but I can do this. Just take some deep breaths and go for it. And you know, the second time you do it, it gets easier. And the third time is even easier. And before you know it, it's just like, oh, what were you worried about? You go and you go give a talk, or you do something to step up or stand up for what you believe in, and people don't believe in you, you know what? Or they don't. They're like, oh, you're just a bunch of whatever. But the thing is, you don't know the seeds you're planting in there in maybe one person's mind, and that all it takes is that one seed that may fester and start growing, and you have created a giant in yourself or a giant in someone else. And I think that's what I love about Trump and what he did with so many, and I don't even think he did it on purpose, but he has woken up the sleeping giant. You know, so many of us felt like we can't make a difference. Our say doesn't matter. It's like, oh, it's just politics as usual. And you know what? We're stepping up and saying, no, it's not politics as usual. We are not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. No, that's a wonderful commentary. And the nice thing about Trump that people don't understand, and the deep state doesn't understand, is that for decades, you know, us regular folks out here have been waiting for a real American, someone that loved the country, to be in charge, as opposed to the typical politicians who are only interested in their careers, their themselves, their friends, their cronies, their deep state that we now know it to be. You know, you look at anybody else, they're self-serving as opposed to America serving. Trump is the first president in a long time. And for you folks who like Ronald Reagan, okay, I don't even put him in the same category, but there's this giant leap from Calvin Coolidge, who cut the budget in half and cut the national debt in half, who served this country by saying no to a bunch of stuff. You know, I take a giant leap from Calvin Coolidge to Kennedy, who got us to the moon, to Donald Trump. I mean, those are the three presidents that I think had the most impact. And a lot of conservatives are going to get pissed off of that. I don't care. I'm sorry, Ronald Reagan talked a good game, but he failed to do a bunch of stuff. But yeah, but the beauty of Trump is that he does, you know, he's one of us. He's not one of them. And the problem is we've only had to choose from one of them. You know, which are the lesser of the evils of one of them? That's first thing. Second thing, once you start speaking out, and here's what's really happening in a lot of school boards. Parents are now starting to speak out. People who never spoke out before, you know, when their kids are being masked and told that because they're white, they're, you know, the evil of the earth, that you're the original sin, or they're being told because they're black, they'll never achieve anything. They're always going to be victims. And parents are like, what the hell is going on in there? You know, and people are now starting to wake up and they're going to go to the school board. You watch. I think the greatest change in an electoral office in the next few years is going to be school boards. And it's going to be parents. And they're going to kick out the professionals, the educators, the leftists, all these folks, and say, you people, get the hell out of here. We're going to start doing this ourselves. And so there's some amazing things happening. Rallies like that we're going to have, and I'm not sure what's going to happen Saturday. I just learned about it recently. But we're going to have a booth there, you know, and like I say, Marjorie Taylor Greene might show up, I've heard. You know, our representative Matt Gaetz may show up. We don't know. It'd be nice to talk to Congressman Gaetz again. It's been a while. But all these things are happening. And so people have woken up and they realize how bad things are. There's no better campaigner for the Republican Party than Joe Biden. Every time he opens his mouth, every time he does something, every time he doesn't do something, every time he lets, you know, rockets from Hamas hit Israel and hasn't said whether he's going to replace the Iron Dome rockets to shoot them down, you know, he basically builds Republican votes, you know, and he also kills a lot of people too. You know, in the process, every illegal alien that comes across the border that steals a job, steals a place in school, steals welfare money, steals from our treasury, steals God knows what, you know, is people, Americans are going to, you know, start looking back to Trump. And the fascinating thing is going to be what happens with the next Trump rally. Okay, the rallies are going to start soon, and it's going to be amazing to watch. See, now, if I were advising, President Trump, the lawful president, I would have him get involved in a psychological war against Joe Biden and the Democrats. I would just say that he's president. I would say that if, you know, this is what should be done, you know, and start talking like he is, because he really is the president. And just say, look, Joe Biden lost. So what do you expect? They stole the election. Now they're ruining the country. What do you expect from a bunch of thieves? You know, and just undermine everything that he's doing. Undercut him. Go to the rallies. And when the crowds are there, say, hey, you'll never see this at a Biden rally. You know, I mean, there's so many things that Trump can do to psychologically upset, you know, the fragile ego of Joe Biden and the leftist Democrats, you know, just with everything he can do, because he's 10 times more popular. It is impossible to believe on a logical gut level that Joe Biden in a fair election could beat Donald Trump. That is impossible to believe if you're intellectually honest. Therefore, it's not that big a jump to believe that these counties, once these audits start coming in, are going to prove what we already know. We already know that Trump won. We already know that Democrat counties commit fraud. So therefore, the audit is really to certify what we already know to convince everybody else, which is quite fascinating. So what's happening in Arizona, and that's why I found that comic by Ben Garrison so fascinating, the dominoes. We're talking about this. Arizona's going to be the first one to fall. Well, if they're going to do it, then someone else has to do it. And it's only going to take three states to reverse their electors to put Donald Trump over 270. And then what happens? So now's the time to speak out. Now's the time to hop on your social media. Now's the time to get your friends. Now's the time to start writing and calling. And if you really want to get involved, if you really want to do something that's never been done before, if you want to be a pioneer, then join us here at Action Radio in lobbying for and helping us write citizen legislation, because I believe that is the forefront of the next peaceful revolution. And we're here leading it right now. And you're part of it, Gene. You're in.
Well, I got – yeah. I got a couple comments. One thing is with Trump, when he does his rallies again, I think he really needs to watch his wording, because this country is so divided now. And to say some, I mean, the thing is, he doesn't even have to say anything negative about Biden, and I wouldn't. He can just, I think, just encourage Americans to continue to believe in America and, you know, pump them up. Because Biden, I mean, even like I was just watching a clip today about what Police Week or whatever, and the horrible, someone that has special service or, you know, services, you know, people with him all the time. And I'm just like, you talk that negative about police on their special week of the year, when it's like you should not be bound down to them, but be thankful to them for what they do and for those that put their life on the line and lost their life, you know. But instead, they what's awful what he said, and it doesn't make any sense. So if I was Trump, I'd say, Trump, eat your pride for a minute, and just, he doesn't have to say anything negative about Biden, because you know what, people know that Biden's incompetent. I mean, look what he's doing. Like, oh my gosh, everything. Gas, like last week, what happened here with the gas situation. That was a joke, you know, living in this day and age. And now they want all green-powered vehicles. That should scare everybody, for the fact that what do they need to get the electric? How do they get the electric? So you're not only wasting
oil, natural gas.
You know, you're using electric. Yeah, exactly. So you're wasting energy with the gas and everything to get the electric so you can run your vehicle. Does that make sense? No. But there's another thing I want to say, too, and I was listening to a poll, and that was very interesting, that Kamala is like the least Democrat or vice president in God knows how long. I mean, her favorability is like horrible, even to the Democrats. And so it's like, I believe that. And I think it's getting worse. You know why? Because she was put in charge of the border. And what has she done? She's not even been down to the border, as far as I know. And you talk about hypocrisy.
She can't go to the border. She can't go, because if she does, it's going to prove the hypocrisy. We need to start calling her the family slave-owning illegal alien party girl, because that's what she is. She's a family slave-owning illegal alien party girl. That's Kamala Harris. So she can't go anywhere. Besides, she's not interested. She's there for the party. She's there for the dinner. She's there for the fun. That's what Kamala Harris is interested in. Why would she care about the border? Why would she? She doesn't care about people.
Right.
She cares about advancing herself.
Right. But where's AOC and all those guys when Trump's in office and they march down there wanting justice and, oh, my God, how horrible a person Trump is, because he's got kids and pages? It's like,
they love what's
going on.
They love what's going on, because they want to replace Americans with illegal aliens. You look at the push for abortion of Americans and the push to bring in illegal aliens. Okay, you look at those as an American replacement program. Those are the two legs of the program. One is to limit the amount of American births as much as possible in American citizens, and two is to bring in as many illegal aliens as possible to replace American citizens and change the vote. That's what I think is really going on. That is the ultimate leftist plan. You want to talk about, and it's quite eugenics is quite the word, but this is an organized program to change the population of this country. Okay, to take away people who believe in freedom and replace them with peasants who will be subservient to government. They're not. We're not bringing in the independent people from these other countries. We're not bringing in the freedom lovers from these other countries. We're bringing in the welfare people. Go ahead.
But why is it? Was AOC on every newscast when Trump was in office saying how bad it is at the border, and now nobody's down there saying how bad it is? It's way worse as far as you talk about children being separated from their parents, you know, put in non-COVID.
Anna, you're confusing truth
COVID
with news.
Buildings, tents, whatever, cages.
Don't confuse truth
crazy.
With news. Truth has nothing to do with news,
well,
and news has nothing
true.
To do with truth.
Yeah, and
so there's two separate categories. Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah.
But that's
but the
what's important for everybody. We need to start speaking up, standing up, however you can do it. And like you said, Greg, you got people that are working under, you know, giving you information, that they don't want to be known. And that's fine. If you don't, so interesting. You got those people that want to be up in the limelight, and every time they do something, it's like, look at me, look at me. And I think that's a lot of politicians where it is, okay, too bad you're not really doing something important. But then there's other people, like I consider myself too, is like, we're the busy bees. We make things happen, but we're not out in the forefront as much. And so what it is whatever you can do is important, and it's a starting point, because you never know. It may turn you into a totally different person as far as lead you on a whole new career path, or just give you something to put that extra step in your step or bigger smile on your face, because you know that we are making a difference. And we need to do something with these children, help these children learn that America is not a racist, bad country. America is a great country to live. We don't want them to have to live in fear or think that suicide is the only way out, because they can't see people's faces. They can't go to school like they used to do. They're told all this stuff, made to believe all this stuff, that doom and gloom and the world is ending because we're not doing more green stuff. It's like, no, come on. We need to step up, and we need to start being the parent, the adult, regardless if you're the parent or not, but adult for these children. And watch what you're saying. It's like, we don't want more negative energy put out there. We want to build each other up. We want to clean up this idea, because you know what? The deadbeats can get pushed under the rug. We do not need to give them any airtime. And I think sooner or later, people are going to realize that. Well, they are already. Look at mainstream media, the news. Mm-hmm. How many people are watching CNN? How many people are watching ABC, NBC, and all those programs? Not many. And so we just need to keep doing our due diligence, get the word out there. But
yeah,
we
about Action
need
Radio.
To be tolerant of other people's viewpoints.
Yeah. I think you pointed out a real difference, just thinking about the way that you and I approach things. There's a big difference between men and women, as how we look at things. I think guys are much more likely to appreciate Trump's combative side, because we love a good fight. And it isn't, I'm not talking about a physical fight. We just like a fight. We like the challenge. We like the competition. We like we want Joe Biden in jail. And I don't care how negative Trump goes on Biden. I mean, if he gets up every day and says, guess what? I'm still the president, no matter what they say, and here's what should be done, you know, that's fine with me. But I think you come up with a much more, group idea. Like, let's get together. Let's support each other. Let's talk about this. Let's, do things, and it'd be nice, you know, if we were nicer, it'd be better. It's just two different ways of approaching it. And I think that people, you know, depending on who you are, and I'm sure there are women who love the combative side. I'm sure there are guys that want to, you know, do the group hug. No offense. But I think there are different ways of looking at this. And I see the advantages of both. But to me, I'm much more – there's a reason for citizen legislation, because I want to change the other legislation. That's a combative position. I'm saying that what is on the books right now is killing this country, you know, in terms of the vaccine power that the Food and Drug Administration has that we can take away with citizen legislation. I've got a bill to do that. The liability that should go on the vaccine manufacturers, I've got a bill to do that too. We've got a bill that would end censorship of big tech. It would make it impossible. It creates a wall of separation between big tech, search engine, and social media, and the users, us. Okay, we've got a bunch of other bills. We've got bills that partially get rid of the withholding tax. We've got a fascinating bill on abortion that actually totally changes, you know, how the how this is viewed in law. You know, we've got I'm probably shouldn't have opened that kind of worse, so to speak. But if you look at the bill that we have, you know, it splits abortion, for example, into two events under law. One is the actual abortion, and the two, the requirement that you save the life of the baby. That's revolutionary. Nobody is even talking about anything like that. It's a revolutionary thought. So these ideas of time limits and heartbeats and things like that, those are good ideas. But with the way that we're approaching it here at Action Radio, and I talked to a lot of conservative women, Jean included, to help put this together. There are things that we're thinking here. We think beyond. We reach it. You know, we go to places that no one's ever gone before, because we've opened up our minds to do so. So one of the critical components is opening your mind. You know, you're only limited by your imagination, and in this show, that's not much of a limitation at all. So think about the things that we can do. And again, Action Radio is open to, you know, all points of view, and a lot of people disagree with a lot of things that other people agree with. That's okay. That's how it works. You know, we take comments on all the bills. Some of my best bills are a result of me providing about 60% worth and 40% worth coming from everybody else. You know, I'm a consensus person, even though I'm also combative. So you can be both. And I think in many ways, both are necessary. Yeah. Jean?
The thing is, I like, I don't mind a fight, put up a fight. But what I for is the name calling and the belittling, because you know what? Then you're lowering yourself. There's different ways to go about getting to the same end result. So it's just watch what you do, and not that I'm 100%. No, I mean, I'm human. I fall many times a day, you know, but the thing is to get up is like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have did that. And, you know, people say, well, you keep doing the same thing. Well, sooner or later you're going to learn, but sometimes it takes quite a few times to get thrown around or just bounce back and forth before you finally realize something. But the important thing is, at the end of the day, at the end of the month, year, life, whatever, that you finally figured it out or you finally changed your ways. But sometimes it's very difficult. But, yeah, I think we all just need to stand up for what we believe in, whatever that is, and don't let your voice be unheard, and don't let yourself tell yourself that you're not good enough, you're not worthy enough to be able to speak your truth or go and promote your truth, whatever that is.
Yeah. And don't be afraid of criticism, because you're going to get it. It's going to happen.
Right.
So don't worry about it.
And that's how you grow, too. It's like sometimes we don't see what's right in front of our face about ourselves. And then you also have to look at it, though, too, criticism. You have to look at, was it meant to help you, or was it meant to put you down and slam you? Because some people will say stuff, criticize you, when they know the criticism is unfounded, but they want to cut you off at the knees. They want to stop you in your tracks. And when that happens, it's only you as a person know which one it is. But also, you have to have a higher self-esteem to realize that and realize in their opinion. Don't let someone else's opinion influence what and how you think of yourself.
You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about leftists, and I find it difficult to argue with them a lot of times because, A, they simply won't listen, and, B, it's not going to gain me anything anyway. So it might be, you know, don't put it in – and this is why I've closed off my page to leftists that only have an interest in closing us down. And so there's a certain percentage of the population you're not going to reach. Don't try. Don't try and beat your position into somebody else who you know is not going to believe it. That's not a productive use of your time. You know, like I say, a lot of the leftists, and this line kind of popped into my head today, are too ignorant to know when they're wrong and too stupid to know when they're lying. Or the other way around. I haven't quite figured out which. But that's basically it. Too stupid to know when they're wrong, too ignorant to know when they're lying. Either way. That's why there's no point in arguing with the leftists, because they're so indoctrinated with the dogma, there's nothing they can say. I know you have to go in a couple of minutes, and I got Josie on the line, so I want to just leave you with one thing here. When in doubt, go to Thomas Paine. Thomas Paine wrote a book, wrote a pamphlet called The Crisis back December 23rd of 1776. That first, I'm going to post this when I'm done, the first George Washington quote is a prelude to this. So if you all want to read something, you know, this is where it starts, and you all know these words. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. And I just read this earlier. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods, and it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated. So I guess that wasn't a George Washington quote. That was, you know, I guess George Washington read this on Christmas Day. Anyway, the point
is,
these are the times to try men's souls, okay? So where are you? Where do you stand? You know, yeah, go ahead.
Right. But I want to make one more comment before I have to go. And that is for everybody, you know, you don't have to go guns a-blazing when you start speaking up. For some reason, they want to start kind of slow, because people that you know may look at you like, what the heck happened to you? Or what have you been smoking? Or what have you been eating? You need to stop it. What are you taking? You know, because they may not realize that what's inside you. And sometimes, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, as far as the energy and just the excitement, enthusiasm. And so, yeah, you don't have to start guns a-blazing. You can take it, you can go gentle, easy, whatever. But the big thing is just start doing something, speaking up. And I'm so excited, and I'm looking forward to hearing people call in as time goes on, and let us know what you did that you didn't think you could do, that you did to take a different or take a step to make a difference in your part of the country, part of the world, part of whatever, even your family, big, as I said, just small, but just do something. And on that note, I'm going to say goodbye. Have a
okay.
good week, everybody.
I agree with you. Do something. But you know what? Sometimes it takes that dramatic breakthrough that gets people into the activist mode. And so I wouldn't,
exactly.
If you want to start small, start small, but if you want to start big, you know, like we do with Action Radio, I mean, this is a pretty bold step just to say,
like,
we're going to change radio completely. We're going to make a completely new genre. You know, it's like, we just do it. We don't have to worry about it. We just do it. So here we are. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Jean.
Bye. Jean Verdig, sometimes life coach, now reporter. Who knows what's going on? All right, let's get to Josie real quick. We got her report. Looks like I have another caller, too. And it's a busy day. We're getting busier and busier on the show, which is really exciting. Josie, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Buenos dias. How are you today?
Buenos dias, chica.
You guys are muy bien. Hey, I disagree a little bit with Jean about Trump has to be so careful of what he says.
Oh, sure.
And
yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
The reason I voted for Donald Trump is because he tells it like it is. He's not afraid to tell it. And he should just tell the truth. Joe Biden is a crook. And we all know it. And let me tell you, she says that he has to be careful what he said because you don't want to make people upset and all that. But let me tell you, I was eating a La Hacienda a couple of days ago in Milton. And somehow these two guys were talking a little bit about politics I ever heard. And on my way out, I said, hey, I know you guys were talking about no jobs. People are not to work because they're getting all this free money and all that. I said, just wait until Trump's return. I said like that. And the guy, he jumped in, he goes, no way. I have to leave the country if he comes back. I said, I guess you better pack your bag.
Did he leave the country when Trump was elected the first time?
Exactly. They're all here, all the ones who said they were leaving this country.
Pianchi, one of our great callers, posts something and he tagged me in it, and it's full of F-bombs and mofos and things like that. But this is a great commentary by a black Trump supporter, you know, at a gas station. Where are all you Biden people? And he talks about all the things that Trump accomplished that Biden has taken away, like, I don't know, gasoline, you know, energy, the economy, jobs, you know, and had nothing but restrictions on us. Hold on for just a second. I've got a caller who if I remember, does podcasts also on Blog Talk Radio. So I want to bring this caller on the air, and we'll get you yourself to the border report. Don't worry, we'll do that. Anyway, caller, 863 area code, welcome to the show.
Well, you got a good memory. You remember that, huh?
No, I write everything down. I can't remember that much. What's your first name again?
That's good. I'm impressed.
Okay. What's your first name, and where are you podcasting from?
It's Bert. I'm in Central Florida.
Okay.
Orlando, Tampa area. And
okay.
I get prompted whenever your show goes live about an hour before. So I saw the email there and you're about the only person I know that does a podcast this time of day live. So I figured what the heck, I'll give you a call, see what's going on.
Okay. Okay. Well, that sounds good. You still haven't told me your first name though. Come on, don't be shy.
It's Bert.
Bert. There we go. Okay. There we go.
Yeah, it's Bert.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed it. Yeah, I'm writing stuff down. I might have done that as well. Britt, do you have any observations you want to share with us before we get to our South of the Border report?
I just called in. I've only been on for a couple minutes, so I haven't really
–
I heard her say, you know, talking about Trump and he needs to be careful and everything, which – or actually, I think the other people said that, and she was saying that he shouldn't I agree with her, though, on that. That's a good point. He doesn't need to be careful. He needs to keep on saying it like it is.
See,
yes,
and I agree with you. I say, Bert, I'm going to leave your line live for a while. I mean, you can mute yourself. And if you want to join the conversation, feel free. The best thing you can do, though, because once people call, I'm going to put you on the air, you know, unless I know you're one of my band callers,
okay,
in which case you don't get on the air. But what I want you to encourage people to do is listen.
If anybody knows how aggravating background noise is, it's me more than anybody. So, yes, I will self-mute.
Okay, well, that sounds good. And in fact, I do that occasionally too. But the point I was trying to make is that a lot of folks, you know, they call into Blog Talk Radio shows and listen on their phone. The best way to listen to this show, so we don't get overburdened with people just calling to listen, is to listen on your cell phone. Listen on, I think I'm going to mute this line. I don't know what I heard then. Something happened background wise. Is to listen on your cell phone, listen on your computer, listen on any internet device you have, and call the show when you're ready to talk on the show. But listen at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. And I'm putting that on there for the podcast folks too. We are live 7 to 9 in the morning, Central Time weekdays. And that's going to go to 3 hours as we get sponsors and as we get other things. Actually, Josie, the first thing I want to ask you about, we've got a celebration of Milton that you and I are going to be working at because we have a booth at Action Radio. So we should kind of tell folks that that you're going to be there too. So if you want to meet Josie, if you want to meet me, come down to the Faith, Family, and Freedom Festival in Milton from 3 in the afternoon until 9 in the evening. And we're going to have a booth. And I don't know what I'm going to have. I'm going to print up a bunch of stuff that people can copy on your cell phones, photograph, and get the links to the show, and you'll be able to join us. And hopefully maybe get a couple sponsors then. Who knows what's going to happen. But if you want to make a mention of that or get your report, I toss it back to you, and I'll make Bert's line live again, see if he wants to join us at some point.
Yeah.
Josie.
So my point that I wanted to say is the reason I voted for Donald Trump is because he tells it like it is, and I love him. He's not afraid, and that's what we need in this country. We need a president that's not afraid, honest man he is, and he loves this country very much. And as a legal Latina that I am, I was impressed because I never liked Trump when he had his shows and all that. I have never watched none of his shows until I seen how much he loved America. And then Alvita King, Martin Luther King's niece, she was very attached to him, and she was here with us, and she opened my eyes quite a bit, Alvita King. So it's awesome that he's going to do his rally, and he needs to be in charge very soon because this country is being destroyed by the criminals, and we cannot allow that anymore.
And that's the thing, too. This is why the audits are going to be so interesting. Yeah. Anyway, so let me get a quick comment from Bert, and then let's get to what's going on at the border. Bert, you want to jump in here for a second?
Yeah, I mean, she's right. I don't want to bring too much of my politics in here. I don't know if you've researched who I am and what we are and what we're about, but I don't want to bring vitriol onto your podcast.
Well, no, actually,
yeah,
you
feel free to check us out.
What's the name of your podcast?
No, I don't disagree. We're just it's National Socialist Movement Open Phones. So I'm actually the head of the largest neo-Nazi organization in America. So we are on Blog Talk. We have about 155,000 listeners. So, and
National
I do a podcast
Socialist.
Every Wednesday at 9 p.m.
Okay, what's it called? National Socialist, what's the rest of it?
National Socialist Movement is the name of the organization. Our website address is nsm88.org.
National Socialist, and you guys are neo-Nazis?
Yes.
Okay, well, you can say it on my show, that's okay. Yeah, I mean, obviously I disagree completely with you, but
some people,
doesn't mean you can't.
Some people don't,
No, well, I don't, but I still want to talk to you. Okay, so that's good.
Sure.
You know, you can be honest on my show, and you can take a position directly opposed to what I believe, and that's perfectly acceptable. Okay, but I'm going to disagree with it. Yeah. We need to set an hour aside for you. What time are you on?
We're on 9 p.m. Eastern time. That's pretty much our standard schedule across the board.
Yeah.
We're doing about 5 shows a week right now. We're looking to bump that up to 7.
Okay.
We are
I'm
on
not
the premium
you,
plan, as you mentioned.
Okay, I'm not going to let you plug completely your show on my show, unless, of course, you're plugging my show on your show, which might
sure.
be kind of interesting. I'm going to set some time
sure.
aside. I'm going
to
talk to you off the air.
Anything to help you?
We'll talk off the air somehow, and I want to get you on. But I want to do it a different time because you'd be a really interesting person to talk to. Josie.
The problem with real Americans is they don't really know how good they have it in their country. Mm-hmm. They don't know what communism is like I lived through. They don't know what hunger is. They don't know because I travel to Cuba every year. They don't know that if you eat beef, you go to prison for 5 years. They don't know that a doctor makes $60 to $80 a month. in a cleaning house makes $8 a month. There, a lot of Americans, they know about socialists, they know about Nazi, they know about everything, but they didn't live through it. They don't know what it is. And there's so many organizations and different groups in America forming all the time, but they're clueless about it. They only read about it, but they didn't experience it. So they don't know what a lot of people, what they're doing in here, besides destroying their country. And it's very sad, like the Biden and the Clintons, the crooks. It's all about power and control. But you know what? It's their own country that they're destroying. But anyway, I wanted to say about the voter, a lot of the Latino moms, I'm a Latina woman myself, Haitians and Jamaican in other countries are crying and asking, where are their kids? They're at the border waiting for our kids because a lot of the moms were arrested with their kids, and they took their kids and they send them back, and they want their kids, and nobody has any answers to them. And these people are stealing their kids. That's what they're doing, to sell them for organs, for sex trafficking, and sell them a lot of kids to Hollywood in different areas. And this is sad because Obama did the same thing, and Joe Biden is doing exactly the same thing right now. And the American people do not know what's going on at the border. And this is horrible. Right before their very eyes, they're stealing their children. And nobody knows. Oh, they say, oh, they're keeping kids in cages and all that. There's no cages. This is all a lie about the cages. But
I don't think people know about it. Like, some of what you just said was new. The organ harvesting and what's going on in Hollywood. I think we need to elaborate more on that. Do you have some sources? Do you have some articles you can provide that people can go to learn more about this? Because this is kind of new.
Yeah, I can post some of the reports from Oscar the Blue. I get a lot of information from him that he's Mexican.
Okay.
And he's right there in the center of everything in Mexico.
See, that's what we need. We need reports from out of the country because then,
you
know, the U.S. news sources.
You, actually. Mm-hmm.
Say that again?
Him with you. He's,
that'd be great.
He's very good.
Yeah. But we need more sources from Mexico. We need more sources from countries like Guatemala, Nicaragua, Honduras, Costa Rica. Let me try and say it correctly. Guatemala. Work on my pronunciation. We'll get there. But these are the sources we need because, you know, U.S. media is notoriously agenda-driven and lack of information. You know, they give the information that they want to give to bring about a particular reaction. Okay, that's the danger with American media right now. That's why they're talking about how wonderful it is to take vaccines, knowing full well that a lot of people are dying from them. For something I just learned the other day on the Peter McCullough video, that the strain that these vaccines are geared towards, because vaccines can only be geared towards one strain of a virus. They can't adapt to other strains like your immune system can. But the original Wuhan virus is gone. It's not even in this country anymore. And so people are being vaccinated.
Yeah.
People are being vaccinated for a virus that doesn't exist in the United States. It's already out of circulation. It's died out. It's gone. There's like 14 different variations of it that are circulating around right now. You know, and so that's the kind of information that needs to be shared. Vital information is purposely not being shared because they're in the back pocket of Dr. Fascist and the whole big pharma. You know, so what the media tells people is horrible. And what they don't tell people is horrible because they miss the point.
Yeah.
So let's find out what's going on. Let's see what the Mexican sources are saying. So what's happening at the border as far as what are Mexican sources reporting on the cartels and things like child sex trafficking, disgusting as it is?
Oh, that's big. They're getting richer and richer because of the Biden administration's that they're allowing open border right now. The cartels are the ones getting the money. You've seen some videos of children coming from Venezuela. Lots of families are coming from Venezuela. They're paying big bucks. They're selling everything they have, and that's it, to pay the coyotes. So the coyotes have to give most of the money to the cartels, and the coyotes do all the work. The cartels, all they do is collect. That's all they do.
Yeah. Well, otherwise they'll kill the coyotes. The cartels will kill
them. Cut your head off. Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Well,
yeah, they
how
do.
These cartels?
And they take.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And the sad part is the Mexican police are afraid of them. They really
sure they are.
They are, because the police are threatening that if you say something or if you do this, we're going to come after your whole family. And that's what the Clintons and the Bidens and the corrupt leaders in this country are doing. They're blackmailing judges all over the country. They're blackmailing lawyers. I mean, jurors. I mean, they're blackmailing everybody here because they got something on them, or they don't have to have something on them. They just threatened, like Judge Roberts, John Roberts. He's been threatened. He's been blackmailed. And many judges,
you know me, I'm
many Republicans.
I'm always going to want sources on this. So if you have some news sources or people have done some research or things like that, sources that we can quote, feel free to post them on the Action Radio page, the group page. That'd be good for us to take a look at, because I always want to find out, you know, what's happening. But I'm curious. I had a couple questions. One on the cartels. When did they really get started? Because the Mexican American border, going back to like Pancho Villa, was run by, you know, bandits. It was a criminal enterprise along the border. So do you know the Mexican history of that? Can you kind of give us an idea of where the cartels came from?
I remember the cartels. They started like way back before the 80s, because when I was doing dentistry in Miami, we had a lot of cartels right on our seats doing their teeth, because they all came to Miami and shopped and did everything. And they have homes in Miami, a lot of them. So they sat in the chair, and we work in their teeth, and they were telling us stories all the time. And see, the cartels.
Well, that's a good source.
The cartels, they, what they did is they cut your neck, and they left you for dead, like they did to O.J. Simpson's wife and boyfriend, ex-wife. So right now.
Wait a minute, you're saying the Mexican cartels did that?
The Mexican cartels. They cut your neck and left you for dead, because one of the cartels from Miami, not from Mexico, we were doing all his teeth, and he did something wrong that he wasn't supposed to, and they cut the neck of his wife, left her for dead. But she
I see. I thought you said the Mexican cartels killed O.J. Simpson's wife, and that I don't buy for a second.
No. To be honest with you, I believe, even though I don't like O.J. Simpson, I don't believe he did this. Because I was just going to go there. So the cartels, what they did way back in, now it's a little different. They cut the neck if you did something that they didn't agree with, and they left you for dead. Now, since they're mingling with the Muslim, a lot of them are ISIS, Muslim terrorists, they chop your head off completely. So that's what happened to O.J. Simpson's wife and boyfriend. They got involved with the wrong crowd with drugs in the restaurant, and something went wrong, and that's what happened. And that's what I tell my husband. I don't think he did it, as much as I don't like O.J. at all. I don't think
I can't. I can't say one way or the other, because I don't. And that's fine. As long as you say it's your opinion. I think that's good. That would require some serious investigation. But here's something, too, that we need to look into. You know, these kids, some of them are eventually going to get out of the sex trafficking life. They're going to be found. They're going to be helped. They're going to recover. They're going to be put in, they're going to get rehab. They're going to get help. They're going to be in hospitals. You know, at some point, some of these kids are going to come out and start telling their stories. So do you have any sources right now of kids that have survived sex trafficking that are out there telling a story that we need to hear, whether it's from Mexico or another source?
I don't know any kids, but I do know a woman. She's from my church. She's from Puerto Rico, that she was human trafficked for a long time, since she was 19. Horrible stories.
Okay, no names, of course, but
No.
I wouldn't even name your church at this point, because this is a story. But if you want to talk to this person, if they want to come on anonymously or just talk to you and tell you, you know, I want to know how people get out of this. I want to know what we can do, you know, to where do we look for someone? You know, what are the signs of someone being sex trafficked? You know, I would say,
She just wrote a book in Spanish, which I'm about to buy on Amazon, and all her stories there. she's trying to see if she can write a book in English because her English is, she's a writer, but in Spanish.
Okay.
And, yeah, right now what she's doing, she's helping people online that they've been going through human trafficking, and she's guiding them because she's been there.
Well, she's got a website, so, then they can make that public. You know, that's unless it's a private website.
But the other thing I wanted to mention, Oscar de Blue from the border, Mexican, he really loves America. He's not a Republican, Democrat at all. He's just a Mexican that loves America.
Right.
He was complaining about the United Nations that they have a website collecting money to help all these kids at the border and all that. And he's saying, where is the money? We want to know where's the money to help all these kids.
Hmm.
It's a scam. It's a scam that the United Nations is doing together with UNICEF. They're collecting millions of dollars, and they're not giving nothing to the kids. This is another setup like the Clintons when Haiti, the earthquake in 2012, the same thing. They were begging the world, oh, if it's $5 or $10, please help Haiti with the earthquake. And guess what? She kept all the money to herself.
Mm-hmm.
This is a scam.
That still has to be audited, if I remember. I mean, there's so many things that are still going on with that. Here's something about the United Nations. I don't think people think of them as what they really are, is a fundraising organization. They are there to take money from us, mostly the U.S. taxpayer, and distribute it to corrupt dictatorships under the assumption that it's going to go to the people, but it never does go to the people. It goes to the warlords or the dictators or the people or the elites or the aristocracy or whoever's in charge. And so you've got a lot of money, you know, being funneled from us. This is why we had to get out of the climate change, of course, because that was just a whole bunch of money to, you know, other folks, but now we're back in, you know, so everything, everything that the thief in chief has done to reverse, you know, Trump policies is costing us money, and the money is going to all the wrong people. He's funding the Palestinians again, and Palestinians as a people, there is no Palestinians. It's a made up name. It's not even a country. It never was a country. It's something that Britain made up, you know, back in the turn of the century, calling some area Palestine, you know, so the history is fascinating. But the UN, and look at the World Health Organization, their job, they've got to be being paid off by Big Pharma and China. Because you've got this trio. You've got, you know, Dr. Fascist here. You've got the World Health Organization at the UN, and you've got China, and they're all putting out vaccines that don't work, that are killing people. You know, and so
they're going to kill people.
They are going to kill people. Oh yeah, and you know, and sadly, in huge numbers. Like I say, and we're sort of into our second hour here, but we're going to open this up for all kinds of discussion. In fact, since Bert's still on the line, I'm going to bring you more into this here. This might be kind of interesting, but we've got huge problems. In fact, there's so many problems right now, I don't know where to go. We've got Israel. We've got COVID vaccines that are bad. Like I say, Eric Clapton took two of them, and he's in bad shape because of it. We got the fact that I believe the new 21st century infrastructure, when Biden mentions this, when the left mentions this, that's an infrastructure without cars. It's an infrastructure without independent travel. It's an infrastructure without freedom. You know, it's an infrastructure tied to electricity, you know, which is tied to power companies, which are regulated by the government. You know, when you have gas, you can buy as much gas as you want. You can use as much gasoline as you want. But power can be regulated much more easily because those are public utilities as opposed to gasoline, which is sold by private companies. It's a totally different market. So,
Can I tell you about Israel?
Sure.
My niece sent me a video and a message last night. She goes, oh, can you believe what's happening, that there's so many deaths from Gaza, the little kids and all that, because that's what the Hamas wants for people to know, that the kids going to die, and they're dying. Who started this? Israel? No. It was them. They're sending 2,000 to 3,000 rockets to destroy innocent people in Israel.
Yeah.
And I do have a friend in Tel Aviv.
Mm-hmm.
Rita is her name. And this is horrible what these people are going through. They have to go underground, you know, because they have, it's like basements, but they have bunkers underground in Israel, because this has been going on for so long. These people are criminals. Iran is supplying all the rockets because Joe Biden sent millions of dollars to Hamas again, like Obama did too. Obama and Hillary sent $82 million to the Hamas group for the refugees. But it was not for the refugees. It was for them to buy weapons. And it's happening again. So
yeah, I don't remember Congress authorizing that budget, by the way. Do you?
No.
They just
sent millions to them again. And the whole world in Chicago, there's protests everywhere against Israel, but they're not telling the truth.
Of course they're not telling the truth
that Israel is only doing what is fair, defending themselves.
We're going to spend some time Thursday. Claire's going to do a special report on Israel, so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Okay, I got Bianca in the line. I got Josie, who's still with us. I've got Bert. From National Socialist Movement, who's still here too. I'm going to take a quick break for a couple minutes, put you all on mute.
I'll take it.
And
tell Burke I'll take him to Cuba with me, and he's going to be singing a different tune when he gets back.
Bert's going to be an interesting caller, I have a feeling, but let me just play a couple things. We'll come back with our free-for-all hour, one we haven't had for a while, so we'll get to it.
Radio. Dangerously cool.
Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. This is Greg Penglis. So what is Action Radio? It is a radio show with its own citizen legislature. That's you, the listener. It is a fully interactive system of listeners, expert guests, social media, writing bills, legislator input, bill submission, lobbying, and citizen action. Action Radio is the future of talk radio, using all the available technology in one completely integrated new system. You are listening to Action Radio Online with Greg Penglis. The webpage for all Action Radio shows and podcasts is blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Please share our show with all your friends and family, both nationally and internationally. The guiding principle of Action Radio is this: we the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed.
Joe Biden's Dark Winter. No freedom, no liberty, no guns, no representation, no oil, no coal, no nuclear power, no space force, no constitution, no family gatherings, no vacations, just taxes, work, misery, masks, lockdowns, and ever more government. This is what will happen if you let Marxists steal the election. This has been a public service announcement of Action Radio, reminding you it's time to get off your butt and save your country.
All right, we're back. Everybody's live. We got Pianki's live, Josie's live, Bert, who is called, I think, once or twice before from the National Socialist Movement, also has a podcast on Blog Talk Radio. Let's start with Pianki, and we're just going to kind of run through, and we're open to anything. I got like 12 articles I can go from, you know, to give you different news. They're all kind of floating around my head right now. Pianki, where do you want to take us? Let's have a little free-for-all, good old-fashioned free-for-all discussion.
Well, good morning to everybody. And I spoke on the National Socialist show before. I never had any problems with the things that they stand for, because they stand for the United States Constitution. And Matter of fact, some of the things I say on there, I was getting ran off of Black Blog Talk Station if I said. But the thing that's disturbing
me is...
What
did you say? No, I'm curious now. What did you say? You don't have to tell me, but I'm curious.
I'd say I'm a Donald Trump conservative. Bleak.
Okay.
I'm Donald.
Oh. There are no black people in America who are Donald Trump conservatives. Get the media, get the message right, everybody. There are no black conservatives in America. Just kidding.
Yeah.
That's the message,
though.
That's the
narrative. Simple as that.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
As simple as that.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
You know, these more and more stories we hear of corporations going into people's private lives, business, and especially when they speak out on issues like critical race theory, that's being proposed in this school district. And the story I heard, we read about the American Airlines basically going after one of its pilots for making the same type of a displeasure at his school district. And I think this is getting completely out of control.
So what happened to the pilot? Was he fired or what?
Well, he's supposed to be investigating, but they shouldn't even be investigating. This is something that he's done. Going on in his school district. He's not representing American Airlines. He's representing a concerned parent.
Did he show up in his pilot's uniform? If not, he's not representing American Airlines. People have to – see, this is the thing, too. The overall topic, and I want to get Josie and Britt's opinion on this, too, is that there's a belief in this country that you give up your constitutional rights when you walk through the door of your employer. Okay, you don't have to wear a mask constitutionally. HIPAA says you can't declare why you're not wearing a mask, and yet your employer can make you wear one. Okay, you know, they're requiring people, I'm sure, in many jobs to get vaccinations, which they can't do, you know, constitutionally, but people give up their rights at work, and work thinks that's okay. And the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, thinks it's okay too. In fact, they even said so. So where do we get this ridiculous idea that people can't have opinions if they work for certain large corporations or government entities? People as individuals, if they're acting individually, have all the rights, everybody's rights. You know, that'd be like, if this were true, only self-employed people who are their own boss, like me, you know, would be the only ones who could be able to talk. And that's insane. Because most people work for other people. Most people work for some company, whether it's mom and pop shop or whether it's Google. You know, everybody works for, you know, most people work for somebody else. So to limit that and say that you can't speak because you fly for American Airlines, therefore you can't have an opinion, that's BS. You know, Colin Kaepernick certainly had an opinion, even though he's a lousy football player. But, you know, he didn't lose his job. He lost his job because he's a lousy football player, but that's a different story. But yeah, what happens to your constitutional rights on the job? I'm going to go to Josie after Pianki. Pianki, what do you think?
Well, you made a good point that Kaepernick can make those displays on his job, and when people spoke out about it, they got mad. But this man here goes to a school board meeting apparently, and have concerns. There's two things there. One, you got a parent going to a school board meeting. How rare is that?
Well, that's happening more and more. It's happening more and more. It's really exciting.
Well,
yeah. About that.
Since the advent of Joe Biden, you got that right.
Well, since school boards became communists. You want to get in on this?
Yeah. The schools are communist now. The schools in America are not the same when I came to this country. They're brainwashing the kids to hate America, that this is not a good country. And I see a lot of young kids' attitudes like that because of the teachers. And this is not good. And I'm glad my daughter got out of college because they started to brainwash her. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to put up with that. And she was not doing too well back then. And I called the college. And I said, I want to know what's going on with my daughter. And a lot of times the teacher's not even showing up to school because she was getting drunk. And the school said to me, UWF, they said, well, we cannot give you no information at all. I said, wait a minute, but I'm paying the bill. I need to know. So they're not allowing parents to know nothing anymore. Once the child goes to college, they own your kids completely.
Well,
and
that's
what I
mean, defund the universities. That's something to definitely look into. Was that Bert who wanted to join in? Oh, no, it's Josie. All right, Bert, and I got a question for you. Well, go ahead and say what you're going to say, then I have a question for you, then we have another caller, it looks like.
I just wanted to clarify one thing what the young lady said there, the Latina woman there. She said she wanted to teach me, show me some of the socialism down there and why it's not good. Don't let the name of our organization fool you. We could not be any further from socialism. Socialism
well,
is one step away from communism.
Well, see, this is what I want to talk about. So national socialism, here's the thing, because I have talked about this frequently, and we got David on the line, one of our local callers. I'm going to get him up here in a minute, too. But the idea of national socialism, you know, the German, what is it, the National Socialist German Workers Party, the Nazi Party, was socialist, which to me is leftist, okay? And yet there's a distinction in this country that people say that the Nazi regime was a right-wing regime, which to me, nothing could be further from the truth. So I want to get your take on this, that national socialism, you know, neo-Nazism is different than socialism and communism. Can you kind of just lay that out for us so we understand, you know, what your perspective is on that?
Yeah, I think a lot of – sure. I think – well, my perspective is just right out the gate that national socialism is on the radical right. I actually coined the term that a conservative and a Trump supporter actually becomes a national socialist when he or she grows up. So I mean, I got to associate that for a second.
We're going to have a talk. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. No, this is interesting.
But I believe in the days of the Third Reich and Nazi Germany, as it were, the original point behind it was, is they were trying to unify, get the communists to come over and become national socialists. So one was obviously on the left, one on the right. So they would actually embrace the best of both. So an example of that would be, you know, taking a Republican conservative Trump supporter and somebody who's on the left, like a liberal per se, Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden supporter, and trying to get them to basically become a Trump supporter. Now, I know that sounds like a gamble of long odds, but
no, it sounds irrational, quite frankly. See, here's the problem with your argument.
It does.
Hold on just a second. No, because we got a lot of callers I want to get to. We're going to go around the table here a little bit. Where the mistake you're making is that fascism is leftist. Nazism is leftist. Communism is leftist. So you basically have leftists fighting leftists. The idea that it's always a left versus a right argument is not true. Okay, so national socialism is still socialism. Anytime you have totalitarian government control, whether it's called national socialism, whether it's called socialism, fascism, communism, it doesn't matter. All of those things are leftist, because if you went to the extreme right, you'd be anarchist. So if you look at the founding fathers, our constitution, limited government, individual rights, those are all principles. They're not anarchist, obviously, but it's more towards the right side of the political spectrum, and as far away from socialism, national socialism, fascism, and communism as you can get, because every one of your solutions involves totalitarian government control. And that is the anathema to a limited government, a constitutional republic, limited budgets and you know, limited taxation, and a free people with individual rights. That's my take on it.
I don't agree with it.
Is that new to you?
It's interesting thing.
Are those thoughts new to you? Have you not heard that before?
Oh, not as you just put it. No, I have not heard that at all.
Interesting.
Listen more often.
We talk about it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't doubt that you probably said it. I may have heard you say that once or twice in the past. Probably won't raise
not the
my
only
interest
one,
in
yeah,
the first
okay.
place. But communism by default, and if you were to read Mein Kampf at all, communism is the largest enemy of National Socialism. There is no greater enemy.
That's why Hitler invaded Russia. You know, so you got Stalin, who's a leftist communist, and you got Hitler, who's a leftist socialist. There's too many leftists on the block. Somebody had to win. That's what that was all about. That's left-on-left violence in the extreme.
No, I don't agree with that.
Okay, that's fine. And feel free not to. Let me get David on this as well. And David, you've been on the show before. You can announce your last name. You can say what you want, but welcome back. David,
hi, good morning. It's appreciate you having me.
Oh, no problem at all. David, you're always welcome to call. Yeah, go ahead.
Just kind of chiming in on what you guys were just talking about. So I think that communism is kind of the ultimate or the inevitable outcome of socialism, because once you have too many people taken from what the working class is doing, the working class decides that they're no longer going to work, and then they have to be forced to. So that's when you take and go from socialism to communism. But the reason I called in was to kind of chime in on the school board, let everybody know what's going on here.
Well, tell people who you are and what you did, because like I say, I wanted to know if you wanted to be anonymous or you wanted to, you know, say who you are. I always like to give people the option. So go ahead and announce them, what we talked about before, and feel free. And then we'll get back to Bianchi and then Josie and then Bert. And this is going to be a great show. This is fun. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we did the mass burning. We talked about that last week on the show here. Got it all set up, and the school board was very effective at negating that. They put out a bunch of arbitrary rules and indicated their authority over the meeting and what happens before and after the meeting. So they had roughly 15 officers there. They had two officers in SWAT gear. They had a bomb dog. They had multiple lieutenants, colonels.
What were they afraid of?
This
is Santa Rosa County, Florida, folks, okay? So David's one of our local folks, all right? Santa Rosa County, Florida, this is a peaceful place. And they had bomb dogs at a school board meeting? What the hell's wrong with these people?
Yeah, I don't know. And it wasn't until at the end of the meeting, once I had actually developed a rapport with some of the officers, I'd talked to them and tried to explain my side of the story. You know, obviously, we're peaceful. We're not hostile individuals.
Well, why did they think you were peaceful? Was there a threat ever from your organization? Was there anything, you know, did you declare your intentions to commit violence? Is anything like that even remotely, you know? Go ahead, clear that. Make a statement.
That nothing that we said or did would have ever indicated violence or a need for violence or calling for violence. We were simply putting to bed the mask mandate and declaring that we were not going to allow that to happen again.
So you burnt the masks? What happened?
So we burnt the masks. We went into the meeting. An elderly lady, I'll leave her name out of it, but
yeah, you can leave names out,
she
fine.
Got up and spoke. She was interrupted multiple times by the school board, which was against their own rules, and they were threatening to have us charged with criminal activity for breaking their rules. And then when she went 10 seconds over her allotted 3-minute time, they had her escorted out by the multitude of officers that was there.
Why were they doing that? Did you ask the officers why they were breaking their oath to the Constitution to support free speech? What was their problem?
I absolutely did ask that exact question.
Ooh.
And the response that I got was, I swore an oath to the sheriff of Santa Rosa County. I told them they needed to go back and reread that.
The Nuremberg defense. Yes, we're just following orders. Yes, we've heard this before on the show. Yes, the chain of command. Yeah, this is what's going on. Okay, fine. Sorry, Bert. I couldn't resist.
But this is the whole mentality of every totalitarian government, every dictatorship that ever existed. They swear an oath to the person. They swear an oath to the party. But if you're an American, you swear an oath to the Constitution, which is above the person and the party. Piaggi, why don't you jump in on this?
Well, it's just another thing that surprises the heck out of you, but we've been warned it's coming. You know, the American Chinese had a protest in Virginia and marching and speaking out against critical race theory that some of their members was exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And they listed some of the highlights of this theory. It says all blacks are oppressed and all whites are oppressors. This is the
wait, but who am I oppressing? I'd like to know, because if I'm going to oppress somebody, I want to at least know who they are and get some decent oppression in, because I have no idea who I'm oppressing. The least these folks can do is tell me who I'm oppressing and where they are so that I can get something out of it. I mean, this is ridiculous. If I'm going to be a white oppressor, if I'm going to get labeled this, you know, I want to know where am I oppressed. I want names, I want places, and I want to know what I'm supposed to do to oppress.
Wait till you hear the next point. Wait till you hear the next bullet point. Say if you are white and you want to admit you are a racist, you are a racist by implicit bias.
So not admitting you're a racist makes you a racist. Does not admitting you're a murderer make you a murderer too? I'm loving this show. This is so much fun. Hold it right there. Josie?
This is crazy.
Isn't this amazing? So all you white people are now racist. And that's like the old witch thing. Remember the Salem witch trials? Remember they used to tell a witch they would throw a witch in a cage in water and then they would sink and drown. And if they drowned, it proved they were a witch. You know, or if they were guilty. I forgot how it works, but whatever it was, if you lived, if you survived the drowning, it proved you were a witch and you were burned at the stake. If you drowned, then it was okay. That was just punishment. And that's your confession. So either way, you were killed, right?
Me and my husband look at each other all the time because Joe Biden and Hillary and all the crooked ones, they're always talking about white supremacy. What are they? Are they from another country with a different color and they're covered with something else inside? This is so stupid. I tell my husband, they're white. They voted for a white supposed
but they're liberal.
President,
they're liberal.
Not.
They're
you're
liberal.
So
it's okay.
Out of control. This is crazy.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, too, and I've done whole shows on this, the myth of white supremacy. And the first thing I ask leftists when they come on the show is name a white supremacist group. You know, other than the Aryan Nation from like 20 or 30 years ago, and they had no power and they were all arrested and they're in jail because they were criminals. Okay. That's a whole different thing. Anyway, let's get to Bert. What's your take on all this?
Interesting. I think a lot of your facts on some of this stuff are inaccurate. We need to sit down and, Aryan Nations, I don't know about people getting arrested out there. I heard it was a civil lawsuit. As a matter of fact, I'm positive it was a civil lawsuit that made Pastor Butler lose the property, and ultimately, I believe in 2002 or 3, he died. So the property obviously died with him. It be via the civil lawsuit or his death, it was dispersed, and that's why it's no more. So,
hold on a sec. The Aryan Nations doesn't exist anymore as we know it, right? They were disbanded, quit, whatever, right?
I'll answer that as clearly as I can because we just did a rally, public protest out in Phoenix just this past month. And Aryan Nations was out there. They did have a couple flags and they were present. Now, whether or not that's connected with the old group, I honestly don't know. I do know that they are using the same colors, the same flags, and things of that nature. Just some knockoff or...
Are they still neo-Nazi also?
Yes.
Okay. And so your group, same thing?
For the best
do you have
of my
a similar
knowledge.
Flag? Are you associated with the Aryan Brotherhood, Aryan Nations, or are you separate?
No, we're separate. We're our own organization. We're a lot more hardline. When you see us out there, you're going
more
to see
than
swastikas.
Aryan Nations?
And...
Wow.
Yeah, Aryan Nations was just it was a compound with property and guard towers and basically a place to hang out. We're more of a political organization.
All right. Do you consider yourself a white supremacist?
I've been called that many a times. I don't personally find that term offensive, but yeah, I mean, I guess it's fair to say white nationalist is preferable, but white supremacist is not out of the realm of reality.
What's the difference?
One is a watered down version of the other, basically the way I see it. I mean, some people get offended if they get called a Nazi, and personally, I don't care. They say all the time that I'm a racist, and I tell them right out the gate, well, you know, what's your definition of a racist? And they're like, well, people like you. And I'm like, well, you have a very different interpretation of the word racist. And they say, well, how do you define racist? And I said, basically, anybody who's winning an argument with a liberal or anybody who's a communist. And they just kind of scratch their head after
I understand that, too, because I've said similar things that racism, that's political racism, where you make a false accusation of racism against somebody, usually a white person, for the purpose of gaining a political victory over them. I understand that. But racism, you know, if you judge somebody else based solely on their skin color, different than yours, as lesser a person than you, that's a race. That makes you a racist. That's racism.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah. About an hour.
Yeah. Josie?
Hey, Greg. They were calling Candace Owens a supremacist, a white supremacist, and she is black, 100%.
That's kind of funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So
yeah.
That's what she said. So
They do the same thing to Enrique Terrios, too, from the Proud Boys.
Oh, really?
Well, now, Enrique's from Cuba.
Yeah, he's like black Cuban, I believe.
Yeah, he's not white.
Hey, Bert,
see, this is where
Bert,
stuff gets so ridiculous.
I have a question
ahead,
for
Josie.
You. I have a question for you, Bert.
Sure.
Do you guys believe in the truth?
Oh, wholeheartedly.
Okay. So are you guys agreeing that the election was stolen?
I'm sorry, that the election was what?
Stolen by the Bidens.
Oh, yeah.
And Clinton.
I believe that 100%, yeah. Good. I mean, I can't speak for everybody, obviously, but as far as I'm concerned, yeah.
Yes, yes. Okay, that's what I wanted to know, what you think of. Good, thank you.
Well, this is a good chance to talk to Bert. You know, if Bianchi wants to, and David also has questions for you, I think this might be quite fascinating. Bert, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you guys want to hear from the horse's mouth, I'm the guy. So.
Okay.
So
well,
that's all right. We do have a lot of parallels with conservatives. We don't exclusively agree with everything conservatives do.
Not that many parallels with conservatives.
Well, we're big on the Constitution. We're big on the First Amendment. We're huge on the Second Amendment. We have a lot of things that we are parallel with. Where we tend to lose interest with conservatives and Trump supporters is that you won't hear us calling 911 if we go out there in the street and say, you know, please come help me. If Antifa's attacking us right now and we can't, because that's never going to happen. Antifa attacks us, we're going to kick their ass. That's the nicest way I can say that.
Well, yeah, but we don't advocate violence on the show, so I'm not going to put up with it. So you guys can talk, you can debate, but, you know, anyway, as far as it goes, the violence...
Right, I'm talking in a self-defense format,
that's
obviously.
Fine. No, I understand that. Yeah, no, that makes sense. David, do you have a comment? Look what you're walking into this morning. This is one of our best discussions ever. I love it. David?
No, I do love the diverse conversations. There's a lot of platforms that don't do this. I absolutely enjoy these kinds of conversations with people who can disagree but have a civil conversation and have some intellect. So this is definitely awesome.
Well, look who we've got on the show. We've got a black person. We've got a Latina. We've got a neo-Nazi. We've got a mask burner. And we've got me, a citizen legislative advocate. I mean, where else are you going to get a group like that? This is great.
Santa Rosa
this
County,
is fascinating.
That's it.
Yeah.
And
I got a question.
You are Canadian.
Go ahead,
Jesse. You are a
What's
Canadian,
that?
Too.
Who?
And you're from Canada.
Oh, that's true. I'm a Canadian. Ooh, maybe I should speak in my Canadian accent. Hey, we'll get some bacon and have some maple syrup. Hey, it's going to be great. All right. Bert, what is your solution to the problems of this country in terms of race? Where do you want to go?
Where I want to go and where we have to go are two different things. We could expand
on
that
let's take
for
one at a time.
A long time.
No, it's okay. Go for it.
I think folks like myself, and I mean this in the most respectful way to your podcast, I think folks like myself are over it. We're over this thing. This has been tried over the whole race problem that's been in this country. It's been going on for hundreds of years, and we are worse off now than we ever have been. There's more division. There's more problems. The black community has basically been crying wolf for some time now. And I think we're well beyond at wit's end with it. And we're just basically the end product is wish granted. Here we are.
Okay.
We're racist, if that's what you want to call us.
Yeah, but the end product of Nazi Germany was extermination of the Jews and Slavs and people that they didn't like. You know, so that's what I'm asking. How far do you want to go with this?
Well, I don't agree with that at all. I don't believe in extermination of anybody. I don't think any of that's logical.
Hold on, Bianchi. I'm holding you reserved. Don't worry. I know I'm going to give you a chance. Bert, go ahead. Finish.
No, they're just to expound on what you said about the Jews and the Slavs. I mean, we could go on about the Holocaust or what I consider, I call it the Hala hoax, on for quite some time. And obviously, the
obviously,
Slavs
you haven't visited Dachau, and I have. So we'll tend to disagree on that. Yeah, I've been to a concentration camp. I know what they look like.
But were you there in 1945?
No, but I was there in the 80s, and it hasn't changed since then.
That's what I'm saying, so.
And that's
historically
documented. Well,
there's no dead bodies there.
Well there
the,
were
the
by
the
tens of thousands.
History.
Yeah, nah, I think you're wrong. I think they're definitely around that. Let's get Bianchi in the conversation. Go ahead, Bianchi.
No, I've heard the things that some black leaders have said. They're not leaders of all blacks. They lead a group that followed their ideology. And I've seen these people photographed with Obama hugging Maxine Waters and hanging out with the Sharptons and the Jacksons. And the Sharptons and Jacksons get national stage, national center podium as a leader of black folk. So what Bert is saying, I think he has the right to say and feel what he wants to feel. If you can look at, I can't call him a racist And these others I just got through mentioning, they are not called racist. And we listen to the things that they've said, and I've heard them say it over the years. Racism has nothing to do with skin color. It's by the act. But this country has now seen a movement that's turned it and further turned into skin color. You know, listen to this. This is one of the other tenets of what the Chinese Americans was exposed to. All unequal outcomes by race, inequity for short, are the results of racial oppression. This is what's taught to the kids. And I think that this has to have center stage and attention, because what you achieve on with your older adults, your children just coming along freshly indoctrinated with this stuff, and this would never end.
Yeah, I think we spend way too much time in this. I mean, I said this before, when I first came to this country, I saw Americans, and I saw Black Americans and White Americans and Irish Americans and Chinese Americans. But I always saw Americans. And me being a Canadian Australian, you know, I was the one that considered myself the foreigner. I considered myself different because I was always treated differently because I came to this country with an Australian accent. Don't think that wasn't tough. You know, and it was made fun of constantly. So I was, you know, isolated as an individual. So you talk about a melting pot, didn't exist when I got here. But the perception of this country divides itself by race like no other country I've ever seen. And I'm not sure why it is, but the group think here, that everything has to be based on your group, is really insane. Because, you know, the other places where I grew up, especially Australia, we had a, you know, what you would call a diverse population, from Indonesians, Indians, Canadians, Australians. You know, we had Aborigines, we had, you know, Asians, we had New Zealanders, we had Maoris, we had every collection of people you could think of in the school that I went to. And none of it made it, we didn't even recognize the differences other than the people, differences in personalities, because we all had the same uniform. So if you think of the United States, if you think of our citizenship as our uniform that we all have, that makes us all Americans, that unites us, the individual differences don't matter. And yet we spend so much time on this. It's a tremendous drain on our whole economy, on our psyche, on our energy, on our just getting together. But we've got to stop.
Well, you know,
I would get rid of the classifications of race and just start from there.
You know, Greg, let me say this. See, we always question people or groups or organizations why they are against whites.
Yeah.
You never, I'm talking about Black groups, you never question these groups why they are against Blacks who find nothing wrong with the United States and love it.
Yeah.
Why do they criticize, attack, call vulgar names to Blacks who have nothing wrong with capitalism, who love the flag and love the United States Constitution?
And not because they're Black, because they're American. You know,
it's always the attack on the white person. It's always the attack on the white male. It's always the attack about the colonialism, imperialism that the Americans are supposed to have imposed back in the founding of this country.
Yeah.
It always go back to 1619. There was no United States in 1619. We don't question them why they throw that type of rhetoric and those type of personal attacks on Blacks that love the United States. It's always, why are you a white person and you hate me?
Well, the left is dependent on leftist Blacks voting for Democrats. I mean, this is what I've heard, and it's a crazy thing, but it's like the tipping scale in the big cities that allow, you know, Democrats to remain in power. So the more Black Americans that say, you know, I'm going to think for myself, I'm going to vote maybe conservative, maybe liberal, doesn't matter, but I'm going to think for myself. That is the greatest danger to, you know, what I call the Democrat farm keepers. You know, Democrats consider Black people like farm animals. You know, you're fed, watered, and given a nice pen. What are you complaining about? You know, and it's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. You know, and it's about time that Black Americans just sat up and screamed and yelled and said, you know, like Network. Remember that? Howard Beale, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. That's happening. That video you posted, you're right,
but it's also about time for whites. When Blacks call them racist, to call them racist back.
Yeah. Oh, I do. But I'm just one. And a lot of that's your encouragement, too. Yeah. Josie?
Yeah, Bianchi. Bianchi's absolutely right, because if you're Black, you're not allowed to do certain things. And if, like me, a Latina woman, people goes, what? You're Latina. Why are you voting for Trump? Why are you doing this? Well, like you just said, Greg, I can think for myself, bottom line. And I got freedom of speech, freedom of choice in this country to do what I want.
Yep.
And that's
and the uniform you wear is American citizen. Yeah.
Yes. So they want to control you. That's it. Control and power. That's all they have against all these people. All the black Democrats, they're being controlled, and they don't even know it.
Well, that's another thing, too. We talked about that before. Bert, I want your take on this. What do you think?
Well, it's a lot to dissect. It's a broad area we're talking about, everything from black people to Latinos and Donald Trump.
Well, that's
what
we do here.
And,
yeah, this is a typical discussion for us once we open it up. We just haven't had a neo-Nazi represent your group, and so this is why it's interesting for you to come here. You're welcome anytime, by the way. And however much we disagree, you're always welcome on the show. So feel free.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
likewise.
No problem.
If you guys want to call into our podcast, feel free.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. It's interesting. But, you know, like I say, Dave dropped out, unfortunately. I'll talk to him off the air, too, and see if he had any extra points he wanted to make. But let's go back to the Constitution for a second, because you mentioned that before. You said that you have a lot in common with Trump supporters and those who support the Constitution, but there's a few things in the Constitution you would change. Where do you see some improvement from your perspective? What would you do?
Well, there needs to be some clarification in there.
Like what?
Second Amendment is obviously my favorite of all our rights, and
Why?
It's very near and dear, close to my heart.
Well,
because you can't have one without the other. A lot of the times, you have to, in order to exercise your First Amendment, sometimes you need your Second Amendment. That's sad, but that's the way it is. Like I said, I'm not condoning violence. I'm just simply saying that it is dangerous out there, and sometimes you can be attacked in more ways than one for going out there and expressing your First Amendment, exercising.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So,
I'm all for
one self-defense. Thing I would
understand that too. And it's, I say, it's just I just have to be careful. The violence area is the one area we really can't go with the show. Certainly not in the advocating of it, just for that reason. But other than that, you know, you can be as politically controversial as you want. And already have been. It's kind of interesting. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I agree with you. I agree with what you're saying. But as far as the Second Amendment, I think some clarification needs to be put in there. For one, pretty much any state in America right now that doesn't exercise the constitutional carry, as Arizona does and some other states out there, is basically in violation of the Constitution. So it doesn't say all states except for California, New York, Massachusetts. It doesn't, you know, all your what I would classify as communist states. It doesn't say that there's exceptions in there, nor does it say that AR-15s or any type of AR rifle, what they would call quote-unquote assault rifles out there, are exempt as well. Nowhere does it say that in there, because the musket back in the day when the Constitution was written was the equivalent of your assault rifle today.
Yeah.
So,
we've covered, just to save some time on Second Amendment, when we talk about the Second Amendment here, Second Amendment is an absolute right, okay? You have in fact, all our rights are absolute within the context of the right. The context of the Second Amendment is the ability to own and carry. Where the right ends is when you decide to use. Now, there are lawful and unlawful uses. So you're preaching to the choir here. So just to save you a little bit of time, my perspective is that it is an absolute right, and you can carry a bazooka if you want, you know, so long as when it comes to a lawful use of it. I don't think there is a lawful use of a bazooka, quite frankly. Point being that the Second Amendment covers owning and carrying, and all states should not only have constitutional carry, but we just talked about this recently, I think just the other day, constitutional ownership is the next area we need to go to in terms of advancing the Second Amendment up to its true meaning. So that might save you some time.
And again, I appreciate you telling me that. I didn't realize. I kind of figured that you guys were on the same page with that, but I hadn't actually heard
have to
the
listen more.
Excerpts.
Yeah, no problem. I'm happy to
tell
you.
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
the schedule is a little different. I'm kind of a night owl, and you guys are early risers, obviously. So, but yeah, we're
night owl too.
About that quite a bit.
I'm a night owl. What do you think? I get my work done.
Right. There you go.
Okay. All right.
But,
so give me another section of the Constitution.
Yeah,
where we might disagree.
Yeah.
So give me another section of the Constitution that's really important to you.
I'll go on to First Amendment, obviously. Those are the two most important to me. The others are, you're getting into other stuff, obviously. We talk about the 14th Amendment a lot, but First Amendment to me is something that I find currently very frustrating. It's under attack. Let me know here if I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir again on those. But we've recently had a problem right in Phoenix. We were told every court in the country out there rules in our favor when it goes to us coming into a town and exercising our First Amendment. And I know you may not agree with this, but it always seems like there's some Jew out there or a group of Jews that wants to put as many roadblocks as they can up to stop us from exercising our First Amendment. And
yeah, I don't like your characterization.
They told us that,
let me hold you. I don't like your characterization, right. Some Jew out there. But I will say this, that in Skokie, when the neo-Nazis marched in Skokie, and this was several years ago, the neo-Nazis were defended by Jewish lawyers in the ACLU, even though they were disgusted with what you were saying. So it does happen. So I don't want you to make a blanket statement like that, but if you have criticism of Judaism, that's fair enough. I understand that. But I want to just separate that from prejudice. Make sense?
Well, what you're talking about back in the 1970s with that guy, trying to think of his name, Frank Collin, that actually did happen. And what you said is true. That's no longer happening. ACLU is dead. They're not going to protect anybody like us. And yes, that is a Jewish organization. That's not.
Well,
I
don't think so. Listen, the black woman that was on representing the ACLU from Florida wasn't Jewish. So you're making. So I want to just correct you on your blanket statements. Now, I believe the ACLU has lost their way. I believe they defend only liberal causes. I would criticize them heavily for that. That is where they're wrong. Uh-huh. But I don't want to characterize the members in a certain way because I don't agree with you. I think you're wrong on that. Okay. So if we could.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, if we could fix the ACLU to actually defend the Constitution like they're supposed to, like I think ACLJ and some other organizations do, what would you have them do in terms of the National Socialist Movement, your group?
Well, they would have to get their opinions out of it. Right now, it's opinionized, and it's not just them. It's everybody out there. Everybody seems to have an opinion on it, whether you're talking about media, the ACLU, or whatever. Everybody interjects their opinions where they don't belong. So
you call yourself a neo-Nazi group, people are going to have opinions. I mean, you've inflamed the passions of people to have opinions. So you can't stop the opinions, but what you can do is exercise your First Amendment rights and be guaranteed the ability to do that. And that I absolutely agree with. Let's go around the table again. Pianchi?
Yeah, and that's being infringed on.
Being a what?
That's currently being infringed on.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. See, and like I say, I respect you. If I didn't want your right to speak, I wouldn't have you on my show. But I still disagree.
Right. No, I'm not saying you. I'm just
Pianchi?
Saying in general.
Yeah. I understand. Pianchi, go ahead.
I have to kind of agree with him because when you look at the ADL, the anti-defamation league with Abraham Foxman. I remember when they was going to black preachers during the time of the Million Man March, telling the black preachers to tell their congregation not to attend. That was written in an article. That wasn't me making that up. Another thing about critical race theory, where it crosses the line. When I talk to other blacks and listen to other blacks about this, when they hear that parents are speaking out against it, they say, well, they don't want them to know their history, or they don't want them to know their history. Well, here's the point. Parents that don't want their children to be taught this type of ideology has a right not to want their children to sit in and attend that type of teaching. But you got those on the outside that will criticize that parent and call that parent a racist. Well, there's blacks that don't want their children to be. This is where the problem. You got blacks that want to teach white children about their oppression. Look at the NAACP. They will come to the side of this argument in an integrated school. But when you have all black school districts, there ain't no place in prison. That's failing, can't do math, can't read. Look how they operate. They would run fast to Rockwood, Missouri, and want to stand on the side of those who want to push critical race theory. This is a majority white school district with about 10% black. They want to stand on the side of those who want to push critical race theory because they want this to be taught, like what I pointed those bullet points out, to white kids. But
well, what's
they won't
going on
go
here?
To a,
What do you think is happening with white, predominantly white schools, where they're is it just guilt? Is it they want to get along and they're just following the trends? What would cause a predominantly white school district to bring in critical race theory, specifically criticizing whites? That to me is irrational.
Not the district. You got the administrators, you got principals, you got teachers that's doing this.
Uh-huh.
It's not the parents that want it. See, especially Missouri. In Missouri, the state statutes say that the curriculum, the textbook, and teaching instruction is left up to the district, which is the parents.
Right.
But you got elements within these schools, teachers, principals, administrators, that's being influenced to push this for some reason or another.
Yeah. But you know what? I think it all comes down to being a threat. If you're an individual, if you have an opinion, if you think for yourself, you're a threat to the government. You know, Bert is a threat. Bert has a controversial point of view, a view I don't agree with. But because he has a point of view and he's willing to express it, he becomes a threat. Josie has a point of view. She becomes a threat. You know, Pianki, you have a point of view. This whole show is about that. I call this the ultimate free speech zone for a reason, you know, in that we all in our own way are threatening the power structure, and it needs to be threatened. Okay, and we can disagree with how we go about doing that and what the end result we want is. I'm looking for the greatest freedom for all, the least government, and the greatest protections of life, liberty, and property. I mean, that's pretty simply stated. That's the goal of the show. So when we write legislation here, when we write citizen legislation, it's based on those principles. And I won't let a law, you know, come out of, you know, get into our organization that isn't about freedom for everybody. If somebody comes up with a specific bill saying, you know, I want to benefit, you know, whatever, like Archer Daniels Midland does, you know, to enforce ethanol in this country, or Big Pharma is giving vaccines that are killing people, those bills are not going to come out of us, because, you know, first of all, I disagree with them. Secondly, they don't go with the general welfare. They don't create more freedom. Okay, so, but the there's always been that battle, and I wrote about this in the thing I read several years ago. The battle between, you know, individual rights and government control. This is what it all comes down to. So race is used as a way to control people. Now we've got three very interesting points of view. Okay, you've got Josie, you know, who's Latina, who is not going to follow with what Democrats say Latinos should think and believe. Pianki's black, so, and you're not going to, you can be conservative, you're not going to go along with the dogma. Bert's white and believes, you know, well, we'll talk about, probably get more example with Bert's talking about, but in terms of race, there's a, you know, he's being called a racist for wanting to hang out with white people. We put too much into race. We use race to define everything, and that's what really needs to stop. I think, Josie, you're next.
What I wanted to say, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, you're on.
Okay.
About 7 minutes left.
What I wanted to say, on my Second Amendment, I stand for the Second Amendment 100%. And the reason, more than probably you Americans here, is because we were not allowed to have rights to own guns. So that's what the Democrat Party wants to do. They want to take your rights away. They want for you not to be able to protect yourself from them, not as much as from criminals, but from them. And that's what happened to all this communist country. They take your rights away of everything, including what you are allowed to eat or not. Like when I go to Cuba, most people over there, they have a special little car that they dictate what they can buy every week to eat.
Oh, and Michelle Obama wanted to do that. Remember when Michelle Obama was dictating the school lunches?
Yes.
And they want to have punishments if you couldn't have health insurance if you had too many potato chips? I mean, who the hell do they think they are? I remember that.
The same thing with the crazy one in New York City about the salt and the size of the soda. And
oh,
I mean,
Bloomberg?
This mentality is communist.
Yeah.
And I lived through it. And I'm not going to go through it again. I refuse. And that's why I love my freedom of speech, First Amendment, Second Amendment. I love it. I really love it. So I stand for that.
Okay. Excellent. Bert, you have about 6 minutes left.
Yeah, sure. I agree with what she's saying. That's it's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing, the Constitution, our rights. So don't let them go. You know, as I think you said you were Canadian, Australian, Greg. Australia, they lost their rights, and they're not getting them back. So,
which rights are we talking about? Free speech, guns, which ones?
Gun rights.
Well, Australia's under a lockdown. They've got a COVID problem. They don't realize that the strains of COVID are nowhere near as dangerous as the vaccine. We need to talk about that too. I'm just going to keep going around, see if I can stay out of the conversation if at all possible. Pianki?
Well, free speech is good.
Yeah.
But you also got a right not to listen if you don't want to.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to listen, you shouldn't be called and labeled all these terms, which is really nothing but racist terms.
Yeah.
And I'm totally
against. That's a really good point. Free speech
totally
can't be forced.
And certain entities, I'm totally against wanting to make whites listen to what you have to describe as history from your point of view and impose this critical race theory and some of the bullet points that it's pointing out in order to create division, in order to shame people. You remember the one scene where you had the church, I guess it was a church, and you had whites on their knees and they begging blacks to forgive them? That was the most ridiculous thing I ever seen in my life.
It
and
is.
I've seen a lot.
But there's a lot of really stupid people out there. And that goes with the guilt thing. This is why when Dr. Walter Williams, he had his white person exemption. And he says, okay, you're all free. you're not guilty anymore. And I've still got a copy of a certificate. That was one of my great pleasures talking to him on the show. But free speech cannot be forced speech because then it becomes communist. If you are forced to listen, if you are forced to obey, if you are forced to think a certain way because of speech, it's not free. So free speech is only free if you have free access to it and free access to not listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Because in Nicaragua, I'm from Nicaragua. If you say anything against Daniel Ortega or any of the little, forget that. They'll torture you. They'll take you away. They'll send you to Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You cannot say anything at all. And let me give you an example. In Cuba, my cousin, which I go to Cuba every year on missions, my cousin was visiting her husband's family. And one young man, a 21-year-old kid, refused to go put the T-shirt to go march because they bring the T-shirt and you have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he was showing off because my cousin was standing outside. And she was telling me that he refused. And they got a baseball bat and they broke both of his legs. It's fine. You don't have to march anymore. And they broke both of his legs with a baseball bat. Yeah. That was in front of my cousin, right in front of him.
That's crazy.
So you don't have to march no more.
Yeah,
so he's
that's the price you
life.
Pay for thinking for yourself. We got a couple minutes left. I want to get Bert while we have a chance here. Kind of paint me a picture, Bert, if you can. What would this country look like if the way you would want it to be? In terms of, I guess, rights or policies or things like that. Obviously, 2 minutes is enough time to do that. But tell me what the country would look like if it looked like how you wanted it to look.
It'd be clean and you wouldn't have to lock your doors, I can guarantee you that. If you've ever seen the movie or the series, rather, The Man in the High Castle, that'll give you some insight.
I haven't, so tell me. Tell me in plain English.
It's a much safer, much cleaner society. There would be no white flight. There would be no people moving out of neighborhoods because undesirables, choose your color, regardless of what color they are, move into it. You would be able to stay where you are and stand fast. I think at this point here, I think the white flight has got people, they're going to need submarines because they're running out of places to hide with all this white flight that's going on right now. They're going to have to jump off into the ocean, I guess.
Yeah. Well, of course, my questions are, how do you define undesirable and who decides? that's the first one. And then, hide from what? And that's, like I say, we only have a minute left, so we have to do this another time. But, yeah, go ahead.
No, just briefly, undesirable, I guess, is in the eye of the beholder. So, I mean, me being white, I would prefer to be around white people, obviously. That doesn't mean that I have anything personal against people who may want to be in contact with me. I just prefer to be around my own, and I'm a little angry because I don't have that option right now. So I guess that's the gist of it.
So in less than a minute, would you want, I guess, white communities completely? Is that something you'd want to create? Okay. Interesting.
You
don't mention white flight, I feel discriminated against, so nobody talks about the black flight.
Where's black flight, too? No, this is a good point. We get 20 seconds. Black,
black
Stephanie, I'll give you the last word.
Black Stephanie, heavily crime-ridden black areas usually flee to the white areas where they have majority white population and majority white police, which dispels the idea that those two elements are evil.
Yeah. Interesting. Hey, we got to go. We're out of time. Thank you all for an amazing discussion this morning. Josie, Pianchi, Bert. Bert, please call back anytime. I appreciate your perspective. Like I say, you know, this is the kind of thing we need to talk about. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. This is just totally different than I expected, but that's what makes this show fun. So catch us tomorrow. Catch us anytime, podcast or live at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. I'll be live tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the morning. Oh, that's Central Time.